Hey guys, welcome to this Monday edition of the Daily Bills Wire podcast. I am your host, Jeremy Uhas. Thank you so much. We are into week number 3. This is episode number 11 of our daily podcast series, proudly presented to you by USA Today Sports Media Group. At Bills Wire, you can find this podcast everywhere. We're on Spotify, we're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your shows, make sure you subscribe. Joining the Bills Wire Daily Podcast now is executive producer of NBC Sports Radio and Pro Football Talk Live with Mike Florio, Rob Guerrera, also known as Stats. He's Stats on Fire on Twitter. Rob, first of all, thanks for coming on with us.
Thanks for having me.
So I want to jump into, obviously we'll talk a little bit about the Bills, being this is a Bills podcast, but just some kind of NFL national storylines first as we get the preseason underway. I hear you guys talking about this on Pro Football Talk, and that was the helmet rule and kind of how that's going so far in the league. I think for the most part, players are adapting pretty well, but still it being a collision sport, football as it is, it's seems like it's hard to police that. What are you guys kind of taking away from it? I know Mike thinks that the rule should be maybe rewritten or amended a little bit. What do you feel?
Mike is as fired up about this as I've seen him about anything, honestly. He actually literally said the words at one point, the sky is falling. I don't think it's quite that bad. Yeah, they're calling a lot of them now, and some of them, you know, frustrate us because it's not the same football we grew up with, but I think that's sort of the point. They want to make things different. They want to change some of the things that we've always had established, and there's going to be some bad calls, just like any other penalty. But to me, I don't think it's any different than any other judgment call, like holding or pass interference, so I don't quite understand the hysteria.
Do you think it's potentially, you know, just detrimental to the brand or to the sport in general? Like, kind of the catch rule was so hotly debated last year. Do you think it has that potential?
Only if they really go overboard and call, you know, 3, 4, 5 penalties, extra penalties a game. Then I think you could start to see some sort of backlash, especially down the line with some other football leagues starting that may not have those kind of rules. But if it's like 1 or 2 a game, I don't think it's going to be that big a deal. Yeah, we might talk about it here or there, but we talk about pass interference and holding and other penalties too, and we always have.
Yeah. What else do you think is maybe just you know, hot button topics right now? You have all the rookie quarterbacks kind of making their first start in the league. Just in general, what do you think of this QB class?
Well, it's interesting. You know, based on 1 week in the preseason, people are ready to put guys in the Hall of Fame. But I think so far, honestly, you know, it was billed as a very strong quarterback class, and I don't think we've seen anything in the preseason that contradicts that. I liked what I saw from Sam Darnold. I thought Lamar Jackson looked better in his second preseason game than he did in his first preseason game, for sure, especially on the ground. Josh Rosen dealt with the center who was basically rolling him the ball back for every snap, and he still made good reads and good throws. Everything you wanted to see, even Baker Mayfield for the Browns. I can't believe I'm saying it. The Browns have a quarterback that looks pretty good so far. Everybody has come out strong, which I think is only good for the sport.
Yeah, for sure. Especially with, you know, you have Roethlisberger and Brady, of course, you know, aging and probably on the verge of retirement sooner rather than later. So that's a good point. What do you make of this, I guess, game between the Bills and the Browns? You have a lot of guys back and forth on both squads. You know, Tyrod Taylor now kind of leading the Browns, at least for the immediate future. And then you have, you know, Corey Coleman. There's just a lot of back and forth between both teams, and they should know each other kind of well. But as a second preseason game, a kind of an intriguing matchup, even if it is preseason.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of buzz around the Browns right now. It's interesting, right? If I told you which one of these teams made the playoffs last year for the first time in forever, with all the buzz the Browns are getting, you might think it's them. It's like, hey, Buffalo is actually the playoff team, okay? Buffalo's got a rookie quarterback who, oh, by the way, looked pretty good. And, you know, Tyrod Taylor looks good for Cleveland, but I think that Buffalo was smart to move on from him. I think that Calvin Benjamin looked very good right after trash-talking Cam Newton and having to deal with that before the game. There's a lot of good positive things going on with the Bills, too, even though they might not be getting as talked about as the Browns.
Yeah, I want to touch on that just a little bit further with you and elaborate on that. Is it just, you know, we're here in Buffalo and, you know, obviously being a small market, not being in the playoffs are really relevant nationally for a long time. Is that just the narrative of Buffalo just nationally speaking? I mean, you might, you know, lend some light into that of just maybe the national perspective just on the team, because you're right, they were in the playoffs last year and they seem to be picked not to do at all what they could muster last season in terms of a repeat playoff performance.
I think the teams that get buzzed nationally, honestly, are the teams that have the quarterbacks. And unfortunately for Buffalo, since Jim Kelly retired, they haven't been able to find that guy. And so they've kind of just been around. They're there. You know, they play some tough games, but the Patriots have dominated that division ever since Tom Brady became the starter. And so they haven't been getting the press nationally like other teams. But if you start to see Josh Allen starts to flash and then some of those 60-yard bombs fall inbounds and into some receiver's hands, you'll change that very, very quickly, I think, especially if they start to challenge New England. So I think, honestly, it all comes down to the quarterback and who has that guy that generates that buzz to make the team relevant.
What's kind of the national take or your take just on LeSean McCoy? He's 30 years old, still producing at a high rate. He had this, I guess, ongoing off-season incident that's still yet to be completely ironed out. Just kind of, you know, his status on the team. He's been quiet since that incident, just going about his business, but still a highly productive back and maybe their most relevant face nationally.
Oh, without question, I think that he's the most notable national player that the Bills have. Like you said, he was productive 1,000-yard season last year, 6 touchdowns for LeSean, but this legal issue, the specter of this legal issue, just cast a really dark cloud over his season, you know, just looking at it purely from a football perspective. And, or I should say, fortunately for the Bills, running back is the most replaceable position. You're not going to get exactly the same type of production from LeSean, but it's not inconceivable to think that someone else on the roster may step up and give you good enough production to where it doesn't sink your season.
And just, yeah, I just want to go back to just the quarterback position in general. You've got A.J. McCarron, Nathan Peterman, and Josh Allen kind of vying to see who's going to start. Do you anticipate Allen, if he continues to progress, starting week one, or do you think it's trust the process here with Sean McDermott and he'll just insert him when he deems it's appropriate?
Well, I think that Sean McDermott has the luxury to go with pretty much whoever he wants and not really take any criticism. If he wants to say, look, we signed A.J. McCarron to be our guy, this is the guy we're putting our faith in, you know, Josh is going to learn and develop, I don't think anyone's going to criticize him. But if they're all sort of even through the preseason and he says, look, you know, we think Josh is our future, if they're all even, why not start him? I don't think he's going to get ripped for it either. And we talked to Peter King on the show last week, and he said when he looks at Josh Allen, he sees a guy that's getting it and getting it quickly, I think were his exact words. So if that's the case and he's the guy, you know, the Seahawks did it with Russell Wilson when he was a rookie. Mm-hmm. They benched Matt Flynn and said, Russell, it's your job from the get-go. I've always been of the opinion that you don't learn how to drive a car by sitting in the passenger seat. You learn by getting behind the wheel and doing it yourself. And so, you know, there's a saying, what must be done eventually must be done immediately. And if Josh Allen's going to eventually be the guy, to me, I throw him in and let him swim.
Do you feel that way, too, just with the Jets and Darnold and really any other kind of rookie QB, Baker, Mayfield, too? If these guys are ready, just let them get that on-the-field experience?
Absolutely. My feeling has always been, look, you drafted these guys to play. And, yeah, it's an adjustment, and they're going to take their lumps, but get them in there. Let them get that experience. Take those lumps as soon as you can. You know, especially with the Jets, they don't even have an incumbent starter who's trying to hold off Sam Darnold. Josh McCown is doing everything he can to get him ready to play. He understands his role in the organization is basically to tutor Sam Darnold so that he can step in and be the franchise guy for the Jets. You can't really say that about anywhere else. McCarron is in Buffalo. Sam Bradford is in Arizona. Tyrod Taylor is in Cleveland. The Jets are like, everything is set up there for Sam Darnold to take over. So especially in New York, I think play the rookie early.
What do you think about the Dolphins? You know, they still have Ryan Tannehill, another team in the division. It kind of seems like the Bills, Dolphins, and Jets will always continue to vie to knock off New England as long as they have Tom Brady. That's not a shock. But just where do they stand bringing Tannehill back? They were rumored to maybe being on a quarterback in the draft. They elected not to do that. Are they kind of status quo, or do you think that they could be a little bit of a surprise?
Well, they do always seem to play New England tough, especially in Miami. Mm-hmm. So I guess anytime you can, I mean, if you can get a split with New England in the division, that certainly helps you if you want to sneak into that sixth wild card spot in the AFC. I don't understand the fascination with Ryan Tannehill. I really don't. I don't think he's terrible, but I don't think he's anything special. I don't think he can elevate the team around him. And, you know, I think a lot of fans in Miami have been frustrated because they've seen Tannehill for multiple seasons, and we keep, you know, multiple coaches, and this is going to be the guy that's going to get the most out of Ryan Tannehill.
Who else?
Maybe Adam Gase can do... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, maybe Adam Gase can do that. Mm-hmm. We saw some flashes at times, and I think the injury, Adam Gase would tell you, sort of derailed the next step for Ryan Tannehill, but we're still waiting for that next step, and it's been a long time, and maybe he'll take it, but usually guys have taken it by now.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you know, I was just curious who you thought in the AFC, just in general, could maybe challenge New England or Pittsburgh. Is it Jacksonville taking that next step this year? Who do you think could kind of emerge from either a non-playoff team into a playoff team or, you know, like a wild card team, like the Bills or the Jaguars, guys that were just on the fringe of the playoffs that could make a run this year and challenge in the AFC?
If I had to pick one, I would probably go with Houston. Mm-hmm. For a couple of reasons. Basically, I think that, and this, of course, is assuming that Deshaun Watson resembles the player we saw last year, that he's healthy and he comes back. If that's the case, I think that they can give the New England defense trouble. Bill Belichick always has more trouble against mobile guys than he does against quarterbacks that stay in the pocket. And defensively, with J.J. Watt coming back and Jadeveon Clowney and Whitney Mercilus, I think that Houston has the perfect defense to pressure Tom Brady and drive him nuts. And we've seen Brady, when he gets pressured and when he gets hit, especially early, he, like any quarterback, is a different guy. He's less effective. So Houston has the perfect combination. Now, a lot of things have to break right for them, but I like the way their team is constructed to give New England trouble.
Great. Well, Rob Guerrero, we thank you so much for taking about 15 minutes or so to chat with us about the Bills and just kind of nationally the storylines headed into, well, eventually the regular season here. Where can people find you on Twitter, and what do you guys got going on here at Pro Football Talk? Anything that you want to highlight or kind of preview for your viewers?
No, I appreciate you having me on. I'm on Twitter at StatsOnFire, all one word. Pro Football Talk, at Pro Football Talk, of course, is Mike Florio. You can find us on NBCSN from 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And our podcast is basically any and everywhere you can get podcasts, Apple, Android, Stitcher, Art19, wherever you want it, it's there for you.
Perfect. Yeah, I like when Chris Sims comes on and kind of banters back and forth. I think that creates a good little show there on PFT Live. And, you know, I have to ask you, too, he buttons his top collar and he looks so... So uncomfortable sometimes, but it's a good look for Chris.
No, it's not. He looks ridiculous. Come on.
Yeah.
We all know it. We can see. He looks ridiculous.
I don't know if he does that on purpose for his shtick or what, but it does look a little uncomfortable for him, especially when him and Florio are going back and forth about something. It is fun. It is a fun watch.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, Chris thinks it's a good look. We've all immediately told him, what are you doing, buddy? That's his thing, and you know what? More power to him, I guess, but you will not be seeing me with the top button. No way, no how.
All right, Rob, we'll catch you hopefully maybe here in the fall with the season well underway and catch back up. It was great having you on. Thank you.